What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Badingy!
Yes!
There's no volume there!
Hey!
You're gonna have to crank that in post.
I'll do it.
I think I whistled. I could hear nothing.
You blew on the microphone at least.
I feel like you cheated the system and you got out of a scat.
You can hear that, right?
Yeah, hey, I know.
That's what I was doing.
We heard you whistle, we heard it.
And then I ended with Badingy. It's been a minute.
Tremendous start to the show.
Well, once you're in it, I realized immediately that I couldn't hear the whistle at all.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, what am I supposed to do? That's all I'm doing.
Keep going.
Welcome to the Spitballers.
Keep on keeping on.
That's how you cheat a scat, Jason.
I will
learn
whistle,
from the
I will
best.
Whistle next time.
No, because nope, you're
been
a
used.
Copycat.
Yeah, copycat.
Then what am I supposed to learn?
Yeah, but just that there are innovative ways.
Yeah, be creative.
Okay.
Would you rather?
I'm gonna play the drums next time.
Would you rather? And a new segment today, Change My Mind.
So oh, a new one.
We'll break out a new segment on today's show. Then we'll go to a draft where we are entering a toy store where we will have a battle royale in today's draft. It's going to be pretty fun, I think. If that whistle says anything about today's show, it's going to be a good time. Al Borland is here.
What's up, Spitwads?
And he's going to help us along in that Change My Mind segment. I think everyone's going to really enjoy it. You can follow the show over on X/Twitter. At Spitballers Pod is where you can follow the show. And all of the social media handles, you can search for Spitballers Pod over there. Let's kick it off with some Would You Rather.
Would you rather?
Would you rather be a world famous Quidditch player?
Oh, done deal.
Hold on.
Or a world famous pod racer, which would be a reference to the Phantom Menace.
Yes, that would be Star Wars.
Now, when I first read this, people play Quidditch now, and it is very close to LARPing. I mean, you can't fly.
Yeah.
And so you're running around.
Very close, I would say it is, in fact,
well, I
LARPing.
Mean, it's a sport that they've reinvented for the unable to fly.
It's a sport created in a fantasy world.
Yes.
And people pretend like they can play it.
So it is fully LARPing.
Yeah,
even
yeah,
though they keep score, it doesn't matter to you.
Yeah, and I'm not shaming these people. I'm just saying
so if
this is LARPing.
LARPing means live action role play.
Yeah.
If you were doing a Civil War reenactment, or let's just say a fantasy battle on a big, you know, everybody's dressed up as witches and wizards or whatever.
Right.
But if there was skill to it, to win or lose, I feel like it makes it better.
Yeah, it definitely makes it better.
Which is what the Quidditch thing does. That's
yeah,
why I said
it's
almost LARPing. But you're saying basically...
Listen to Harry Potter nerd over here try and defend his world. Like you aren't just a bunch of nerds.
Well, you wear uniforms.
It's still a sport.
It is not a sport.
It is.
We
it is
play
a sport.
Pickleball. We play with little wiffle balls and we put a net up
yeah.
and we keep score and there's skill. Like, I don't hear what I'm not saying. Those out there who are playing the real live action version, non-flying because it's real life
uh-huh.
version of Quidditch, super nerds. Super nerds. You're nerds. And they're happy to be nerds. They know it. But it's still a sport. It's a game. It's an activity. Like
it's strategic.
It's
somebody wins because they're better than you.
Yeah,
but anyway,
exactly.
Look, let me get back to where... So I thought we were talking about real sports, but obviously this is being a real Quidditch player or a real pod racer. I would vomit everywhere if I was racing those pods. It seems like 80 to 90% of them blow up pretty quickly in
yeah,
the middle
yeah.
of the race.
Usually if there's 10 racers, there's two that finish the race.
It's Quidditch by a mile.
By 1 billion. I mean, I don't even want to be a pod racer. Like if you
no,
if
I
that
would,
was a
I would
real
opt
thing,
out.
If that was a real thing, those pods are real. This course is there, and it's like, hey, we built it. you won the ticket. You get to race one of those
you
pods.
You wouldn't want
to
do it?
I'd say, I ain't doing that. Are you crazy?
You don't want to go fast?
I don't want to go fast in one of those uncontrollable pods through a canyon of falling brick with shady other people who are using their little trick pod racers to destroy mine. I am
O-U-T. You want to be in the thing where there's shady characters in the stands casting spells on you and
I was
you
hoping
fall out
he
the
wasn't.
Sky.
I think we were both rooting for him not to know that part of the story.
Nerd.
Yeah, but I
no, there's
fly.
No snitch. There's no snitch in the real quiz.
There's no, but what about quaffles or bludgers?
I don't think there's a lot of bludgeoning either. I'm not sure.
No, bludgers.
Sorry.
According to this WikiHow that I'm looking at, how to play Muggle Quidditch.
I mean,
a quaffle looks like a volleyball.
Just enjoy your D&D, Mike. All right?
No, the D&D people,
Quidditch.
We're coming for
so
you.
So are you taking pod racing?
I was too busy making fun of the nerds to, like Jason, to like, are we like putting ourselves temporarily in that world?
Yes.
Okay. So I get, I think I'm going,
join us.
No, I'm
join
going,
us.
I'm going pod racer.
Oh, you're going to die?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right.
But you can fall off a broom.
I'm sturdy. I can hold on.
He's just hanging.
We're back to the argument of how long do you think you can hold yourself up without falling?
I can hang long enough for one of my teammates to come with their broom and say,
maybe, maybe.
Would you rather have to listen to a barking dog for 8 hours a day or a crying baby for 8 hours?
Oh, man.
If you had said a crying dog for 8 hours, that would have been worse. I mean, a barking dog, to me, is doing what it... It's bad for me, but it's doing what it wants to do. Whereas a crying baby is...
The baby's doing what it wants to do.
No, the baby's doing... Babies cry for a reason. It could be they're hungry. It could be they're tired. It could be they're poopy. They want their parents. So to me, the baby needs something. So hearing a baby cry for 8 hours and not being able to intervene, I'm going to be like, that's going to make me suffer more mentally. Because I'm like, that baby for 8 hours needed me. That dog does not need me.
It's someone else's baby.
What's it barking? It's barking because it sees you.
Yeah, it's barking because it hears something.
It thinks someone's outside.
It's barking because it's just wanting to communicate.
My kids go play in this dirt field near our house. And you would think dogs could learn things. But they just play. They ride their bikes in this field. And 100% of every second that they ride their bikes, a neighboring dog sits at the fence and barks as loud as it can bark. Yeah. They've named the dog. I don't remember what the name is. Some dumb name for the dumb dog. But that it doesn't need nothing. It just wants to annoy you.
Unfortunately, I have two dogs, and one of them is the neighborhood watchdog.
No.
I know. It's
embarrassing.
It's
do people
awful. No, we haven't had people, because there's other dogs that bark, but
so
but
your neighbors all hate you. They just don't talk about it.
Possible.
Right.
Very possible.
Probably.
And my dog Daisy, and she has different barks. Like there's like a deep, loud bark compared to her warning bark, which is, it is so high pitched.
You can tell what a warning
bark is. Nonstop. Well, she often will do this when her brother dog gets into mischief. He's the dumb dog who just like does whatever he wants, and if he's somewhere he's not supposed to be, she freaks out, and it is the worst sound of all time. So I would have to take a baby crying over that particular bark. If it's a regular dog bark, I'm probably still taking that one. I get a baby cry is it drives me wild.
Baby cry. It's been a while now. It's been a minute since we've really dealt with baby cry, but there's a timer.
Yes.
That goes off where no matter how patient, calm, collected, prepared, mentally fortified for that moment, I know that this cry is going to come, and maybe I need to let this baby cry. You hit a wall.
Yeah, you do.
And you go, you just break. It breaks you. I mean, this is another.
Shut up, baby.
just. You're going.
Stop it!
You can't possibly take the baby cry. I don't know what kind of dog bark your Daisy's warning bark is, but it can't be worse than what my blood pressure is going to do when after 10 minutes, after 20 minutes, after 30 minutes of this baby crying, this baby in need, the dog, as soon as this 8 hours is up, gets the front door opened and the leash taken off, and I say, sayonara. You can't do that with a baby.
But
not again.
And for eight 8 hours. Now, do you feel worse yelling at a barking dog or yelling at a baby?
Oh, we're yelling at a baby. I'll yell at the dog. Me and that dog going to have a verbal fight.
But for 8 hours, you are yelling at that baby. For
right.
sure.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, he's saying he won't do that.
So I will yell at that dog.
Okay. Although the dog would kind of probably at that stage understand
no,
that you don't like what they're doing more than the baby.
Yeah, but the dog will just keep repeating, saying, no, you're not understanding me. There is imminent danger.
Yeah, look, both of them stink. And once we had kids and we went through baby phase, I would be on like a plane and I'd see a family and they'd have a crying baby. And I had a lot of compassion.
Yeah, you feel bad.
I'm just like, we get it. That's what, you know, you give them that line. Don't worry about it. Been there, you know, whatever. There's still a limit. Like, you give them that, like, don't worry about it. And I can brush it off for longer than most people on that plane. But you still, like, if it's 30, 40 minutes, I'm like, shut the baby up.
I've found out that there is a threshold of time post having your own baby where the empathy goes away. You know, the angry old people that are like, who would bring a baby on a plane? I'm getting close, guys. I'm getting close. You drug that baby up.
Really?
You give that baby Benadryl.
Do you bring the baby Benadryl? Other people's babies?
Oh, I'm going to start. Another 5 years, I'll be bringing like
are you interested?
Baby Benadryl onto planes just in case.
Just throw on the noise-canceling headphones.
Yeah, that's a good that's
other option. Another option.
Yeah. Would you rather
or drug the little baby?
They can't fly in the like cargo hold, right?
Babies?
No, I don't think they would take the cold.
I don't know if it's it's temperature.
You can't
control.
Pay them to move other people's babies to the cargo hold.
There should be
what I'm saying.
There should be a baby box on planes.
Oh no.
No, like a really nice.
But it's fun. It's got toys in it.
Yeah, it's like a little
soundproof.
Think about the where you put your luggage. Right?
Right.
So you put your luggage.
So far not compelling.
No. So there's a container like that, right? Inside, it's nice and padded. It's comfy. And there's a little 5-point harness so the baby, you know, if turbulence or whatever,
I was going to ask about that.
Okay. You can put some toys in there on the top. It's a mirror. Baby gets to see baby. Baby gets to, you know, baby can
baby
either sleep or baby gets
baby.
To see baby. There's toys in there. It's soft. It's safe.
There's snacks?
No, no snacks. You don't want choky baby without,
without
protection. But most important, it's soundproof.
It's just 100% a soundproof baby box.
Soundproof baby box. You close that thing and you can't hear nothing.
See you in 5 hours.
See you in 5 hours. That's exactly right. Now, here's the thing. When that 5 hours is up, I know that my baby had a wonderful flight.
Yeah.
That's how I choose to see it.
Yep. Because you're gonna open that door and the sonic... boom, that will erupt from all the crying babies. Will destroy you.
Or they've fallen asleep. They passed out after 3 hours of crying.
And being jostled around. The only way I'm on board with that is if the flight attendants have the ability to put babies in the box if they don't behave.
Oh.
So they can say, one more time out of you, you get
the baby
box.
Yeah.
Hey, that's frightening. Would you rather have to boo every kid other than yours at a sporting event?
Oh, brutal.
Or fart loudly every time the pastor begins to pray? Have you ever seen the video of the mom booing
the girl at
the free throw line?
No. It's not booing. It's the young lady, the free throw, dribbles, prepares, shoots, misses everything.
Air ball! Yes!
But the best part...
And then the film, like, you hear a couple people like,
what are you doing?
It's like, I'm her mom.
It was a mom.
But it's very funny.
That's okay then. That's totally okay.
So you have to boo every other kid, which will get you beaten up. Or fart loudly every time the pastor starts to pray.
Which will get some chuckles.
As you see, I think I can get chuckles on that one for at least 5-6 straight times.
My
until somebody finally has to come up to you and go, like, listen. Don't fart during the pastor's prayer.
Do you
just clench?
Do you cut it loose and then scream, "Who farted?" Or do you just sit and in the echoing?
No, you ignore
the
it.
The reverberations
you ignore
of your toot.
It. You might look around. You know what I mean? You fart and go.
Do you
imply, yeah. Who, dude, that's rude.
You don't
who
do like
that?
A forgive me, Father?
Oh, just like the sign of the cross. Just,
I guess you have to be in, like, if you're in a Catholic mass.
So,
forgive me, Father, for I have I had some Chipotle. I guess we're all going fart.
Yeah, there's no way.
We're not booing other people's kids.
No.
So my son
I will
his...
judge them silently like an adult.
Yeah, my son.
Like
a like no grown up.
You're not wrong. Like a real grown up. Yeah. Because my son had his first of this season basketball practice yesterday. And they're you know, 4th and 5th graders. That's the age of this basketball team. And they're about 75% through the practice. And then the other kids start coming in that are going to be, you know, the next hour of practice after this one. And so the gym is starting to pack up. And then there's this an older kid, probably, you know, 3 or 4 years older than our team, who's just sitting watching, waiting for his practice to start. And this little jerk, I was like,
oh no,
this little jerk.
Baby
just,
box.
He needed a big boy box. this little guy, he's just loudly talking about everything they're doing wrong.
Oh my God.
You know, he's like, oh
no.
What? He's like, come on, why don't you take that to the hoop? He's laughing at this, the way this guy's shooting at the hoop. It's like,
so
these,
a junior high, yes, laughing at
junior high jerk.
And I shot him daggers with my eyes.
Yeah.
I did the, like, are you kidding me? Now, he never saw me. This kid was oblivious. He was in his own world of judgment. But just feeling that and hearing, I was like the one person near enough to him that could hear him just calling out all these other kids for their failures. And I was like, that's unacceptable.
Now, you stuck around for his practice, right?
Yeah, and I gave it to him. You know what,
you know what probably happened is his dad showed up to the practice and started doing that to him.
No, that kid does not. That
oh,
kid
he's
had,
perfect?
No. That kid's parents were not there.
Yeah.
I promise. Mm. That was a drop-off situation. kid with a mouth
like that.
I need
a break from this kid. Like, our kid's the worst. Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
Maybe your kid's the worst because you're dropping him off. Go to his practice.
Oh, my God.
Parent the kid.
All right, so look, we're going fart there.
oh, yeah.
Would you
yeah.
rather have to yeah. change jobs every 2 years or have to move every 2 years?
Ooh. Well, I love my job. And I love switching houses. This is a fun one.
I was going to say, like, I don't know, like, how often have you, like, if you averaged out how often you've moved over the last 15 years.
Okay.
I'm probably at
over
about.
Over the last 15, yeah. I'm at half a move.
You're at half a move. I'm probably.
Wait, you're at half a move, meaning?
I've been in 2 houses over the last 20 years.
So
wow.
One, yeah, that's one move.
So.
I would be. Oh, I see what you're saying. The average. Yeah.
Yes.
I think I've been in 4, so that would put me at about maybe 3-4 years a move.
One.
Oh, two, man, here he comes.
3.
Moving on.
4. 5.
Oh no.
6.
The boosh,
7.
Booshtacular.
7. I've been in 7.
Here's the problem with that. That's the, like, you're almost a
over
rent-
the last 10 years.
No, not 10.
Years,
no,
yeah.
15.
Okay. To be fair to that, to get to 7, it would have been
like
17 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. And that's like, that's almost like a renter situation where if you move that much, it's like, why do you don't want to work on nothing in your house because you're about to give it up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you put a really nice brand new pool.
Mm-hmm. And a new floor.
And you moved
immediately. Did some stuff on the walls. Got out of that house.
So
loved that house. It was great. See you later.
Moving jobs, I feel like, would be fun at first and then get worse the older you got. I feel less capable of moving jobs the older I get. So,
and it's hard to, you know,
I would learn to live with little if I was moving every 2 years.
Yeah, if you knew you were going to move, you
would. Sorry, what were you saying?
You'd live that way of, I'm moving in 2 years, I'm not going to.
Minimalist.
Yeah, I'm not going to have a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Too much. My house is full of crap.
Yeah.
Just everywhere.
Just too much crap.
Everywhere.
I think that's most people's problem.
It is. And we are. It's a problem. Get rid of your crap.
Yeah, starting over at work every 2 years, new jobs, that doesn't work. The only way that works is if you are being recruited to other companies at a massive raise each time.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I've heard employees, close your ears, statistically speaking, like people who change jobs every 2 years, you make more money.
For sure. I used to be a manager of a Best Buy.
Just not in the podcast industry.
Yeah.
Of a Best Buy a long time ago. And when you moved on up, you were hired here at Best Buy 8 years ago, and you've worked from a cashier to now you're a general manager. You got your own store. You make squat. You make nothing. But the person who's never worked for Best Buy, who just got recruited over from Home Depot, oh, there's only one way they get that person, and that is to pay the big bucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way it works.
Yeah.
But I will, yeah, I'll move. I'll
Me
move.
Too.
Yeah.
I probably will move.
Yeah, you probably will. All right. Quick break and back with a brand new segment.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? You know, go for a run, take a nap. I'd probably take a nap. But, you know, read a book. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Talk therapy has been a very important thing in my life, my family's life. So I'm talking me, my wife, my children. All of us have experienced the benefits of talking to a professional because sometimes in life there are things that are just too big for you, and you need to talk to a professional about it. And if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ballers.
Change my mind.
All right.
Did you find a new house yet, Jay?
I'm on Zillow.com.
We are starting a brand new segment today, and it is called Change My Mind. Al Borland is in the back here, and he's going to be basically reading off a polarizing statement, and we have the ability here in studio to either agree or disagree with that statement. If we all agree, we're moving on to the next statement. If we disagree,
or
it will obviously be...
Or if we're all in agreement, we can say how dumb the other people are.
That's fine. We can, we could shame others.
We'll definitely talk about stupid people.
Say, well, you have an opinion? You're dumb.
Yeah, we're very dogmatic on things we agree on. But if somebody disagrees, you're obviously going to have a 2-versus-1 situation. And those two individuals will have, I think, a couple minutes to try to persuade the other person to change their mind, at which they'll listen. And then at the end, they'll decide, was their mind changed?
Okay.
So go ahead, Al. Tell us what we're going to weigh in on first.
All right. The first statement, a corner brownie is better than one out of the middle.
A corner brownie is better than one out of the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So what do we do a count to three and then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three, two, one.
Boom. No.
All right.
It is clearly better.
Mike went with no, and Jason and I both said
no.
Yes.
Yes.
A corner brownie is, of course, better.
The camera's out, Andy. There
well,
you go.
Yeah, thank you.
No.
Jason, would you like to begin?
Sure. As the resident food expert, as seen by
Why do you claim that title?
Because of my size and my eating.
Listen, his comments on food have more weight to them. Go on.
Thank you. Here's the thing. Brownies are always, the edge brownies are always the best because you get the best of both worlds. By the time you cut all the way in, The inside is soft. It's what you're wanting, but the outside right. has a little bit of firmness, a crispiness to it. There's nothing worse than the brownie piece that is too soft everywhere, and it feels almost undercooked. That's always going to be the center brownie. The center of the whole sheet, maybe it's okay. Maybe this is super cooked all the way through, and the edges are crisp and wrong. But if you're just talking about your average run-of-the-mill brownie sheet, the edges give you both parts that make it great. That little crisp outside and that chewy centerpiece. That
yeah, would be nice. I would just compare it to the someone making Stouffer's mac and cheese in the microwave. The edges of a mac and cheese have the extra crisp to them that gives it the cheesy, crispy outside edge. It's got a different flavor to it. And the outside of a brownie, the outside of a cookie has a nice, crispy, delicious flavor to it.
Depth to the texture.
Basically,
not just all one note.
And I know Mike has various wrong food takes, so this might be
especially dessert takes.
A difficult one. But look, what we're saying is if you respect yourself, if you are sophisticated, if you have a
this
palate,
this is how you backfire.
If you have a broad palate, of those feet, you know, if you're worth anything,
then you go for the middle.
You didn't have me until we went right to the insults, and then
I was not insulted. I was just speaking broadly. So, Mike, did we change your mind?
No, the inside of the brownie is delicious. It's so good.
I already knew the
it's
answer.
It's soft.
To this one.
It's what the brownie is. Okay, you have a big pan, right?
Mm-hmm.
The brownie is supposed to be soft.
Actually, they make brownie pans. Have you seen this?
They make an all edges one.
They make an all edges. Why would they do that?
Because there are psychopaths in the. Why would they make padded rooms? Because there are places that we have to put people who are not safe for society. And that's the people like, no, I want the...
Hey, look, you're selling pans, baby. Those pans sell. That's why there's two of us and one of you.
It's like crunchy peanut butter.
All right.
Get it out of here.
I knew that changing Mike's mind
it's
on food.
Well, here's the thing. My argument was, in a pan, you have the edges, and the rest of it is it's all... So like 98%, 96% of the brownie is soft, because that's how it's supposed to be. Mm.
Yeah, I mean...
Soft and chocolatey and delicious. Mm. And
or
not
flaky
crunchy.
Or undercooked. And,
yeah.
You guys need to learn how to cook brownies, apparently.
And cook them edges. All right. Mike.
I'm starting to wonder.
Are you switching?
No. I am sophisticated. I do respect myself.
Mm-hmm.
Get you a straight jacket.
I'm
throw
starting
you in a room.
To wonder if we ever have a 2-to-1 vote. I wonder how many episodes, how many hundreds of episodes before we convince...
Oh, change Mike's mind?
No, anybody's.
Oh, well, no, I'm a very reasonable person,
okay.
Maybe.
All right.
All right. Next statement.
All right, the next statement. The person in the middle seat of an airplane automatically gets both armrests.
Okay, the person automatically gets...
Automatically. It's just a done deal. Okay? 3, 2, 1...
No.
No, we all said no.
Because it's automatically.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to change the verbiage.
Honestly, I think they get one, and one of the two people get screwed, kind of.
I think it depends on the size of the people.
That is 100% why I went with not automatic. If you say the person in the middle seat is supposed to get both armrests, I will say yes.
I would be fine with that. I would be fine with that. They're sacrificing. They don't get the window, and they don't get
Correct.
The leg room on the aisle. But, like, I'm always an aisle flyer. And if I'm on the aisle, I'm getting that armrest.
Because I'm first.
Well, because I'm...
I will establish dominance.
I'm wide.
I will bully you up.
Why would
the
middle person deserve one extra armrest to the other two?
Because
they're in the middle?
The person in the window can lean against the
wall.
Yeah,
they can.
The person in the aisle can stretch out their legs.
Yeah.
The person in the middle is completely trapped.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they should have at least one at all times. But I don't think they have to have
but
both all the time.
You can't coordinate with the left.
But when
right.
you're on the aisle and you're at the window, you have one at all times, no matter what.
I agree, and that's what the middle should always at least have. All right.
So should middle.
So Jason, if you show up and there's another wide person on the other side of the middle, and do you a wider person, do you determine that you'll sacrifice your left arm for the middle person?
You're saying I am wide.
You're
the
least wide of the outside people.
I'm the least wide of the outside people.
Yes.
So
I'm saying that other wider person, maybe they're on the window.
Well, what's the person in the middle? Is the person
they're
in the middle
average sized?
They get zero
armrests. All right. So it's all
that's
about,
a
all
bad right. flight for all them.
Right. Oh man.
All right. We agreed though. Give us another one.
All right. Leftover pizza is better eaten cold rather than reheating it.
All right.
Three, two, one.
No.
You fools.
Better?
For the audience, Andy and Mike said no. Jason said yes.
Yes, of course.
Better than reheated.
Better. Leftover. We're starting. Not cold pizza is better than hot pizza. This is cold. This is leftover pizza.
Correct. Only
this
referring
is
to
next
leftovers.
Day. Am I taking it out of the fridge and eating it, or am I taking it out of the fridge and microwaving
as
it?
As opposed to brand new pizza that is, you take it out of the oven and you throw it in the fridge?
Mike, would you mind if I open this one up? Okay.
Please do.
Let me read you a little Bible verse to help you out here.
All right. I'm all ears.
When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I did away with childish things. You're a grown man. I understand the fact that maybe as a small child, the convenience of the cold pizza is superior. Go grab, put it in your mouth. That's what you did as a kid. But we're talking about adult time. You have the time.
Adult time.
You have the ability to put it into a microwave and have it as pizza was intended to eat. Do you eat your steaks cold? Oh, crap.
No, I do not.
Okay. Why?
Because a hot steak is significantly and definitely better than a cold steak.
Have you reheated in the oven?
I have never reheated in the oven.
It is a better way to go. I'm not saying microwave is the best.
You just actually made the argument for me because there is a difference between heating a pizza in a microwave. You
don't do that.
Well, sure. If I'm going to take the time to redo a pizza, I'll just order a new one. It'll be there in 15 minutes.
Yeah, all righty.
It's going to take as long to preheat my oven.
If I have time, I'll just order a new one.
Oh, no.
If you're telling me I got to preheat my oven and then put it in there
and then wait for 15 minutes. Domino's?
I could walk to Domino's in 30 seconds. I'm so close. The delivery people don't use a car.
I'm not sure your concept of time understands what's happening.
Mike, do your best.
Well, my argument is with you is yes, it is certainly easier to grab the cold piece out of the fridge, but technology has advanced. The microwaving your pizza is awful. You get spongy crust.
This is
disgusting. But the technology has advanced. If you didn't, and waiting for the oven, that used to be the worst. Air fryer. Put it in the air fryer. It takes you 5 minutes at the most, and you have a fresh, delicious piece of pizza.
Hold on. I think I figured this out. This is all time. Because you could...
Time and quality. It's a sliding scale. It's one
okay,
of those...
Okay, but you would still prefer a fresh slice of hot pizza... To a leftover cold pizza. So if you could just get the pizza back to its original state the right way, you'd be happy with it.
Correct.
But that takes too long to you.
Yeah, correct. Well, to be honest, I don't know if it's possible or not. I've never taken in my life.
I encourage you to oven that thing.
I've never taken cold pizza and thrown it in the oven. I'm not convinced it's going to come out on day two as good as it was when it was fresh.
It's not. It's not as good as fresh.
However, so you guys have certainly not convinced me that it's better to have this soggy, nasty, spongy pizza on day two versus a firm, delicious, cold, easy, instant pizza. However,
cold pizza is pretty mushy.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's kind of, it can be, and it's the mushy. Cheese clumps, and yeah.
If you'll allow me, I will say.
I will not.
You got a Bible verse for me?
Let's move on.
Mike
won't allow. Let's move
on. No, I forbode.
Okay. I was about to hop on Mike's back and take a piggy ride to an air fryer, but I will never air fry a pizza the rest of my life.
This
now
segment
on principle.
Has turned
more
into,
air fried pizza for me.
This segment, instead of change my mind, should be called
Stand Your Ground.
Yeah, it's called I'm Stuck in My Opinion Forever. All right, there you go. No one convinced Jason. Give us another one.
All right. Werewolves are more dangerous than vampires.
Werewolves are more dangerous than vampires.
This is a good one. I like this question because it's very subjective, and I feel like my mind could be changed on it. Vampires.
Okay. All right.
3, 2, 1. I went with no.
Yes.
I went with yes.
You both said they're more dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah. And here's,
so I'm the one that's got to be persuaded here.
Correct.
And I think Mike and I have the same reasoning.
Do we?
And it's all about reasoning.
Yeah, I have some reasons that I think are logical.
I'm saying you can't reason with a werewolf. You when a werewolf has turned, and obviously we're only talking about a turned werewolf. You're not just a person who is you know.
Obviously.
Yep. Yeah. Well, if
you know about
unless you see the werewolf transform back into the human, you don't actually know who the werewolf is.
Right. So a werewolf is only going to attack, kill, eat you, destroy you. A vampire can. A vampire is strong and is just as deadly. But you can reason with a vampire. You could talk to a vampire.
I could talk out of a vampire. I could talk myself out of being killed.
Yes.
You think that's your strategy.
I have seen vampires fall in love. And who's to say that this is not a nice vampire lady?
This is a big Twilight argument here.
So here's my argument why a werewolf is more dangerous than a vampire.
I'm listening to you because you are kind of a resource on zombies and creatures.
I'm at my house. Okay? The full moon is out. There's a clamoring at my door. Uh-oh. I open it. It's a werewolf. My face is ripped off immediately. Okay?
That's a fact.
That's one possibility.
It's now nighttime again because otherwise the vampire would not be able to come to my door.
Right.
And they say, knock, knock, knock. Mr. Wright, may I come in? No. And now I'm
safe. You're
and
totally
now I'm safe from the vampire because the rules are the rules. You have to be invited in.
That's the vampire rule?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
You must be invited in?
They can't come into your house without permission.
Let me make you, before I reveal whether my mind has been changed, because it was a close one for me. The reason I went with the vampire is more dangerous is because I will see a werewolf coming. They are gigantic and they're loud and they're hairy and big and wolfy.
Yes.
But a vampire, I could be at a party, right, that I've invited a bunch of people to. Mm-hmm. Now, in your situation, you know that this is a vampire, so you're like, no, you can't come in. However, vampires can veil themselves.
They can.
You could be at this party, and you could be like, oh, I need to go get my coat in the back. And then Mr. Vampire goes, oh, let me come with you. I have a coat back there, too. And then the next thing you know, you're being eaten.
The party is a dangerous situation because you said you invited a bunch of people, so they were allowed in.
I would not see a vampire coming in that situation.
Then the other argument to that would be all of the vulnerabilities of a vampire.
Mm.
Garlic.
Yeah.
So, I had some garlic sauce with my pizza. I just breathe on them. Cross. Holy water.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, there's all these things that I
could
do.
What's the steak, too?
Yeah, steak to the heart. Well, that's how you kill
him. It's easier to find a wooden stake than a silver bullet.
Yeah.
Which is the werewolf.
Yeah, you have to get him in the
so
heart
these,
with silver.
Just to be clear, does the werewolf and the vampire, do they compete for like food at night? Because they both only have to be out.
Well, can he
eat the meat and then the other one takes the blood? They could share?
They could, but a vampire is trying to turn. They're not just out there feeding. They're also out there trying to turn get people added to the vampire.
Could they turn a werewolf?
Ooh, that's a good question.
To create a vamp wolf?
That is an excellent question.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think they can.
How tough is the hide?
Oh, they could break through.
Okay.
Yeah. The teeth are very sharp on the vampire.
All right, so did we convince you that a werewolf is more dangerous than a vampire?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Okay. I think we did it. I think he got me in particular with the face ripping off. When he mentioned that part, it was like, ooh, that sounds bad.
Would you rather have a bite on your neck or your face ripped off?
Well, you become a vampire, right?
You do.
So that's better than having your face ripped off.
Yeah. One of them you become, come back from and kind of live forever.
Yeah.
Undead.
Yeah.
Well, and the other is just, you're just dead.
I would then have to turn all my friends and family, right?
Now,
is that the ones you really love? MLM?
A little bit.
Is this like
a little bit?
If I bite you, you got to bite 10 people, and then they got to bite 10 people.
Now, Josh, you're a
vampire.
No, you resemble it with your pale skin. but let me ask you this: so, how do werewolves, when they bite someone else, do they become a werewolf too?
Yes, it's called lycanthropy.
Okay.
It's a disease that
so it's the same thing as a vampire.
Okay. But they don't ever eat you then? So would they rip my face off?
No, they can eat you, but if they scratch you or bite you and you get away, then you get that disease then and become one.
All right. I think I'm going to dance with the vampire now. You guys persuaded me. So,
all right.
Do we have one more?
Let's draft.
All right, let's do it.
Spitballers Draft.
Have you moved, Jason?
Have I moved from...
Did you? You were on Zillow. Did you buy the house?
No, I've got an appointment tomorrow at noon for a walkthrough.
Look, it's prudent. You should probably look at the house before you buy it.
Yeah. I don't go sight unseen.
I mean...
Roll the dice.
Just roll them dice. All right, we are into our draft on today's episode of the show. It is a toy store battle royale. So we have all entered a, you know, just imagine those of you out there that enjoyed the great days of Toys R Us.
Yeah.
Which,
oh man,
my kids still miss them tremendously R. now R. that P. they're gone.
I think they're
in Macy's.
Yeah, in Macy's.
And when they're in someplace, that's not the same.
Yeah. Oh, I was blown away by how not the same. I went to
is
one
it
of
small?
These. It's a corner.
Yeah.
I mean, it is disrespectful.
They have a corner of a store and they're calling it Toys R Us.
It should be called Some Toys Here.
Yeah, it's basically like when, like last Christmas season, I went there and it was like...
It's like a pop-up
you
shop.
You know where the shoes are in Macy's?
Yeah.
Now divide that in half. Mm. They're just replace it with toys and call it Toys R Us.
That hurts.
It does.
Were you Toys R Us? Were you KB Toys?
Oh, I was Toys R Us.
Toys R Us
I don't
was
grow
the
up.
Gigantic, you know, Costco style.
Yeah.
You know, the KBs were in the mall and they were very expensive.
But they're
still nice.
It was so compact. I mean, there was just
Toy stores now are Target.
Well, let's
The toy aisles on Target.
Let's remember them the best possible way, which is a battle to the death by picking different items from the toy store to fight with one another. And you know, I don't know. Maybe I've missed the boat on thinking here. There's several picks I think could go number one. But I think what I'm going to go with. Is I'm going to go with the spy gear. All right.
Okay.
In a toy store, there is the spy gear.
You don't remember
gear.
The spy kits?
I don't remember the spy.
You don't remember the thing where it's got the mirrors?
I got the toy
and it
periscope.
Up so you can see over the wall?
I've got the night vision goggles.
Okay.
Which are not, they're just, they turn everything green.
They may or may not come with
like the
a couple
day vision
of
goggles.
Small walkie-talkies with pretty bad range, but I could use them for misdirection.
Yes, you could.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with what I think the spy kit that is for sale in a toy store.
Okay. Oh.
All right.
I remember all those things individually.
Oh, they're in a kit, baby.
I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah.
I had the kit.
Okay.
It was great.
All right. So
you
that
ever
means...
fight with the kit? You
no.
ever use it
no,
as
I
a weapon?
No, I used it for spying.
Okay. I'm building my team, Jason.
All right.
As a spy... You're not trying to engage in
conflict.
You will
not see the periscope at all.
If you get caught, you're a bad spy.
Yeah.
All right. My first pick, I will take something that legend has it, at least my memory is telling me, that it was, in fact, designed as a weapon originally.
Oh.
And then it was transformed into a toy for children. Mostly peddled by someone who would stop by your elementary school and make you think it's really, really cool. I will take the yo-yo.
It was originally developed as a weapon?
It's in my
that
memory.
That sounds like some made-up lore to make your pick sound better.
Maybe.
It's a toy.
It's floating around there.
I still like the pick, though.
Yeah, I like
think
the
you
pick.
You get rain. It's basically, you know, you got a weapon at the was end a with yo- a little bit of
imagine
rain.
All right, we have an update. There is no sound historical evidence. That's why I said it's just floating around.
Okay.
I like it, too, because you could pretend you're like Spider-Man with it, you know? Like you're
shooting
a web out, but you're just...
Whip!
Yeah, and then bonk. Yeah, the yo-yo, I mean, you don't have crazy range.
I will say that.
But it's nice.
We have another update.
Oh.
The notion is believed... This is from Al. The notion is believed to have been a marketing gimmick disseminated by Dunkin' yo-yo demonstrators. So the person who's going around to the school
selling
is tricking kids. This was a weapon.
Wow.
That they used in
you
the
you
want to
buy a weapon safely? Yo-yo.
So you went yo-yo.
I'll still take it.
I think it's good. I really do think it's good. But I also do believe in this fight. It's going to backfire. You will 100% lose a finger. You will 100% lose that finger. Because at some point, let's say you hit me with it.
Right.
I'm going to try to catch it. Maybe I don't catch it. It wraps around my arm. At some point, it's mine.
Oh, okay. He's going to rip
and
his finger off.
I'm pulling. I am grabbing that yo-yo and I am saying, get over here.
What type of string do you think I have on my yo-yo?
You're saying that
he's saying the string will break.
Yes.
But then you just don't have a yo-yo. I mean,
It may be a one-time use.
It's going to hurt your finger at least.
Yes.
Okay.
I will not disagree with that, okay. But I will disagree that the thin yarn string
will rip
is
your
going
finger
to take
off?
My finger off my body.
I think this will make Mike more vulnerable because what we'll do is we'll hit him on the head when he is busy untangling his yo-yo after one throw and it gets all tangled up and he's sitting there spinning it. But you got the yo-yo. So, Jason, you have two picks
in the
toy store.
All right. My number one is still there, and it's a weapon originally developed as a weapon. No, it's often put under beds to be used as a weapon. It's a baseball bat.
They sell baseball bats in a toy store?
Do they?
Maybe
basketballs.
You can have a toy bat.
I will give
you can have a toy bat. Not
it's a
like
wiffle ball bat.
Yeah, you can have a wiffle ball bat.
I will give you the wiffle or the foam bat.
Yeah, you can have a foam bat.
You can't
have like a softball bat from a Dick's Sporting Goods.
Really? They don't sell like aluminum bats?
No.
But the foam bat with the foam ball.
Yeah, you can have the foam ball with it.
All right. I'll retract.
Okay.
I'll retract.
All right. We're trying to help you.
I had to try.
I'm not saying. I think a wiffle bat's valuable.
Take the gun.
I knew
it's not a toy.
He has a thing written down that says, I know it's not a toy, and he wrote it beforehand.
Yeah, I had to try, baby.
I knew you were going
to
try it.
I had to try to get a baseball bat.
Yeah.
I knew that's not a toy store.
You didn't seem that crestfallen.
I'm going to take a helicopter.
All right.
Oh, man. You're cheating with the first pick. All right.
This guy.
That's where you got to
start,
man.
Every draft.
Okay. I'm going to take, I don't know if you've seen these. My
a
son
katana.
Is that, you know, for Fruit Ninja, they sell katanas in stores now. My son has had these. They are a blast, but they are also not... They shoot a mile a minute. They shoot 100 of these little tiny bullets.
Okay.
I'm talking about gel blasters.
Yeah, okay. That's
those
fine.
Things are machine gun Uzis.
They're pretty cool.
And it's not going to kill you.
No.
But you're not coming at me straight. You are
yes.
You are arm, leg, garden, protected.
You're probably not good for the eyeball.
No. Someone in the face with that would be a problem.
For sure. You're coming towards me with your back towards me.
Because
you're hearing this. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. All right, so I got gel blasters and a baseball bat, and for my...
You're going to need some time, though, if you know. You have to dehydrate those, or you have to hydrate those gel bullets.
That is true.
So you are going to have to put them in water and wait a little while.
Yeah. Will you guys give me some time?
Yeah, sure.
Thank
sure.
You.
Time out! Time out!
my bullets!
My bullets aren't ready yet. All right, my other one, it's similar to your yo-yo, but I think it's better. My string's not breaking. It's longer.
Okay.
And I can use it to exercise and get in shape for
it's
this
on
fight.
My list, yeah.
I'm taking a jump rope.
Okay.
A jump rope.
A jump rope. It gives me some range. It's a
it
whip.
Does.
It's a noose.
It's a noose. Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can tie you up. I can choke you. I can hit you.
So
I can
you're going
slap
for,
you. I
wait,
can work
like a,
out.
You're going for like a big you know, jump rope?
Yeah.
The biggest they got?
The extra large.
All right. All right. So you've got a jump rope. Mike, it is back to you.
All right, I'm going to... So I have sort of a ranged weapon. It may be a one-time use only. We'll find out.
Ow, that hurt. It's mine now.
I'm going to take some projectiles now. So I'm going to take the wooden castle blocks.
Oh, okay.
Those are an underrated pick.
They're heavy duty. I got all different shapes and sizes. I got some... some cone shapes for some steeples, some sharp edges.
Yeah, and, no, I mean all the blocks.
I'm just pointing out how dangerous these blocks could be if I'm throwing them
super
around.
Super dangerous
for you.
Did
not
you
me.
Say one time use because you're not going to be able to get them back?
No, it's my yo-yo.
Oh, gotcha. Your yo-yo might be one time use. All right, you went with the wooden council blocks.
Yes.
I'm going to go. You know, you both have projectiles.
Mm-hmm,
yep. And the fun thing about even if it's a toy version of this, it still works, guys, especially against what you got. I'm taking the toy sword shield combo. Because
the shield
still a shield.
Yeah, the toy sword won't do anything, but the shield is going to.
Yeah,
really
I'll throw
help.
That thing in the garbage.
I have Captain America's shield on my, you know, the plastic one.
Sure.
You know, it's still helpful, especially that's going to come in clutch with my gel blasters.
Honestly, a plastic sword, I might be able to give you a wallop. Like one slap, like kind of a slap.
Yeah, you could slap me.
I could do a slap. So the plastic sword and shield, I think I need it against your ranged weapons there. This next pick.
He only goes combos. He gets the kit.
Right.
The sword and shield. I feel like that's two picks because I would have just drafted a shield. Are we? We're allowing both picks here. We're that.
I mean, it comes in a kit.
Yeah,
man.
It comes in a bag.
All right.
I'm sorry. Okay. And then with this pick, it just, you know, it's kind of par for the course on my battle royale. I like slow moving vehicles, so I'm taking a Power Wheels, baby.
Not even for the fight, just to have one.
Yeah, I know. I want to have one finally, man.
Awesome.
And you know, I don't know what the top speed is nowadays.
They were the coolest.
If someone on your street when we were first growing up had a Power Wheel, there's two things. One, they're the coolest.
Power Wheel.
Two, if they owned a Power Wheel, that meant they're rich. They're the rich family on the street. Like
it did.
Even if they were destitute and should not have bought this on credit.
Oh, yeah, you know, as the coolest kid in the world.
As a kid, you don't know the financial situation of anybody. But whoever had a Power Wheel was like, oh, that's the rich family.
The Power Wheel, if someone else had it, it wasn't even something I asked for. I knew it was too expensive for my family.
Me too.
It was just like, that's cool. I wish I was you. But yeah, I'm taking the Power Wheel.
Which one? Can you?
I mean, I think
like the Barbie.
Yeah, that's fine. But I'd probably go like the monster truck.
Is there a monster? Okay.
Yeah, there's like a black monster truck.
I know there's
truck,
like a Hummer.
Kind of looks like a Jeep.
Escalade.
Probably the big, being a grown man at this point in my life, I'm probably going to get the biggest one because I'm going to need to try to get in it.
Makes sense because generally weight limits for Power Wheels range from 40 to 130 pounds.
Oh, that thing's not moving.
That's some weight
to
lose.
That is not moving. Andy's going to get in that. He's going to use it like a skateboard, one foot in and then the other foot just
I can pedaling. Throw a Power Wheel right at you. All right. Mike, it's
okay,
back
I'm
to
back
you.
Up. All right. I am going to go. Oh man. So okay, I'm going to need some Andy's got some transportation.
Yeah.
We're in a toy store, so I imagine there's aisles. I might want to be able to see over the aisles.
Mm.
I might need to move fast. I'm taking a pogo stick.
Oh man.
I'm going to be cruising around this
I'm
toy
sitting
store.
There. I'm sitting there with you're going like, I want to move fast and see over the aisles.
Yeah.
I thought this man was about to take two pairs of stilts. I mean, I didn't know what was going on.
I feel like Mike's weapons are all going to backfire on
the pogo stick is, you can wield it at the end of your.
I could.
You could get there and then swing it.
I can do
it. It's actually a better
it's like a bat.
Sword than it is a
I can do a midair jump, transfer it up.
Yeah.
You can do that?
Chop it down.
He could also.
That's super
he could just
impressive.
Fall, though. He could fall.
More than likely. I will die.
Well, let me tell you.
I want you to use a yo-yo with a pogo stick at the same time. Good luck.
Let me tell you
just
how.
Just around my head.
How Mike's fight is going to be over. Okay? Mike's fight's going to be over because of this next thing I'm drafting.
Uh-oh.
While he's on his pogo stick. I'm drafting marbles, baby.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem for
just
the pogo
Just hit one.
Stick.
Just hit one.
He rolls a bunch of marbles
at just
him.
Roll. I could throw them at Andy, and I could roll them at Mike.
Honestly, it might mess the Power Wheel up. I don't know if it can handle marbles.
I think the Power Wheel will be okay. Four wheels on the ground, pretty sturdy. It won't be moving because of your weight. So you'll be fine with the marbles. I'll have to throw them at you. But marbles is the first one. And then the next one that I'm taking, I love this because it's a fun. It's just a fun toy. And any of you ever punched a wall?
We're old enough
where we've experienced it. How's that feel? Sucks.
Well, it depends on
your knuckles.
It depends on the material. Drywall. Well, drywall is not a big problem.
No?
You go right through it.
What about a skull?
Punching a skull?
Yeah.
I imagine that's a problem
That's going to hurt. That's why people wear boxing gloves when they fight. I'm basically
you're getting those big inflatable ones.
I'm getting the Hulk cans.
I knew he was taking the Hulk cans.
The Hulk cans. Big green
those
boxing
are,
gloves,
foamy,
baby.
Right?
They're like
they're not plastic.
They're not
like a
plastic.
Foamy.
They're
hard though.
Yeah, they're foamy on the inside with like a hard.
I'm just saying,
outer
if,
layer.
It's kind of a shield too.
If you actually hit me with it, it would not hurt as much as your fist.
No, it wouldn't. But it will hurt my fist less.
I love it. Yes, they and he would be like, "I'm the Hulk."
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I will. I'll say that so much.
Let me just picture this. Jason's got pockets full of marbles. He's got a jump rope. Probably in lasso form on his hip. And then he's got Hulk hands, and he's got a gel blaster on the other side of the hip. And that's his weapons. Mike, you are currently wielding a yo-yo with on a pogo stick.
Yes.
And then maybe a sack of wooden castle blocks
yep.
over
that's
his
right.
shoulder.
That's right. And
your final pick.
My final pick. So I have some melee. I got some movement. I got some projectiles. Now I'm coming with the Sonic Warfare.
Oh.
I'm taking a karaoke machine.
Oh, really?
I'm blasting it. I'm going to be blasting.
So we know where you're at.
Who know? What? Yeah. You'll know that I'm coming. And then you have to close your ears. It's too loud. I go, with a primal scream with some sort of, I don't know, T-Swift blasting. And I'm taking people out. I'm flying
like
through the air.
All of his picks are better used as straight bludgeoning items. I mean,
right,
the karaoke machine would hurt.
If yes. it is a...
Are
if,
you familiar with Mad Max Fury Road?
Want that? Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
The big truck that's come through the speakers?
Yeah.
That's going to be me with my tiny handheld speaker.
I mean, every war in history has like the old...
Yeah.
Type. They got the band playing to strike fear.
That's right. This is my marching drum.
Well, look, I've got my spy kit, right? I'm all decked out. You don't know where I'm at. Well, yeah, you do, because you hear the power wheels coming.
I can see over the aisles, Andy.
Although they are electric. It's very quiet. The plastic sword and shield, I've got that in tow. I can defend against your projectiles. And so, look, I'm going to take the steel of the draft in the fourth pick.
Oh.
I mean, this thing, look, I've got a wide variety of them. They do the same type of distraction the gel blasters do, but I get them in the late rounds, and they're probably pretty painful way up close. I'm taking some Nerf guns.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm
yeah,
taking
yeah,
the Nerf right. guns. I
okay.
mean,
I thought about it when I was like, oh, but I want to hurt you.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I get what you're saying.
You sure you don't want the water gun?
The Nerf guns, they got a little plastic tip on them, and if I get close enough, which I will with my spy gear,
it could be.
It's gonna hurt.
Okay,
I
so
feel
you just
like
drafted a Nerf gun, right? Done with your draft.
Yes, yeah, he's done.
Okay, then let me tell you about this Nerf gun that my son got from his grandparents for Christmas. It is a 4-foot-tall Gatling Nerf gun.
You're twisting the cranking the lever?
It takes battery. It's battery-powered. You want to get hurt?
Come on.
It's unbelievable.
Nerf battery-powered?
It's unbelievable, guys. There are about...
Yeah,
there's like 60 or 70 bullets that's in like the giant Gatling. You know, uh-huh. It takes you forever to load them. Forever to load it. You put this thing in and you hold down the button, and it's the two. It unloads. You're 5 minutes to load it. You have 3 seconds of 60 of these things going so fast you can't believe it. So if you had drafted the Nerf Gatling gun, we lose.
I'll even give it to. But how many of those Nerf darts do you still have?
Oh, they're
six.
We've got infinite, because all you got to do is look under anything. You just look around. It's going to take you some time to find it, but we've got Nerf under every piece of furniture.
Like, the problem with Nerf guns is it's fun for like 5 seconds.
We have a lot of old Nerf guns that the kids don't play.
You lose
with.
Your ammo.
Yeah.
That's why the gel blasters are not so bad, because you get a lot of ammo you can load up pretty quick. But that'll do it for today's draft and for the show. What did we learn? Let's find out.
What did we learn today?
Apparently, real-life Quidditch is a real sport.
Yeah, it is, buddy.
According to these two
I learned that werewolves are potentially more dangerous than vampires on today's show.
And I learned that after 4,000 votes, edge pieces are beating centerpieces.
Yes!
50.5%.
Oh, gosh.
49.5%.
Let's go, edge pieces out there. Take care. Back with another episode next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.